We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
All right, welcome to another edition of the Butting Heads podcast from Rams Talk Radio. I'm Super Barrow, here as always with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, we can finally put the preseason behind us. The Rams roster is set. And next week, we're going to be talking about previewing an actual NFL football game with real players. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I didn't think this day would ever come, man. It's a good feeling because, yikes, preseason.
Me neither. Man, it is happy. I'm very happy we are out of the preseason and going into the regular season. We are going to save the regular season chat for next week because there's no games next week. This week we're going to talk about the 53-man roster that has been finalized more or less by the Rams. They might be moving some players on injured reserve. Maybe they'll pick up some guys after that. But we're going to go position by position here, break down all the players that made it, all the players that didn't. And I'm excited, man. I mean, it was a very uneventful 17-12 preseason loss to the Broncos. Wasn't much different than our other games. Although I gotta say, like, it's kind of embarrassing to me that Denver didn't score a touchdown every single time their starting offense was in. That was pretty rough.
It's funny because I talked to a good friend of mine about this preseason game because, in fact, we were talking about a lot of, you know, there are more teams I think now that are taking the Sean McVay approach that aren't starting pretty much any of their starters at all in the preseason. And it makes the preseason much more boring, but that's a separate thing. But he had asked me how, because he's not a Ram fan, he had asked me how the Rams did in the last preseason game, and I said, well, it was more of an indicator about the Broncos than it was about the Rams, because we kind of knew what to expect, what the Rams were going to put out on the field. But the fact that the Broncos had their first string unit, or at least most of the first stringers, and on both sides of the ball, I thought that the Broncos were going to dominate this game, and they didn't at all. It was a very close game. And defensively, I guess they did their job, I guess. They led them to just field goals, but offensively, you should be able to score on the Rams, or at least get a touchdown every drive on the Rams, like third, fourth stringers. So, good luck to you, Broncos. You're gonna need it.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't play these guys the entire game, but Teddy Bridgewater played three drives. Cortland Sutton scored a touchdown on the third drive. Von Miller had a sack. Like, they were playing a good amount of their heavy hitters. I think they played everybody, and like, at least for the first quarter, like you should not be punting against this Rams defense when all your starters are playing. So I'm not really feeling optimistic about the Broncos this year. I mean, Cortland Sutton cooked Robert Rochelle on his touchdown catch, but like he should win just about every matchup. He is going against a third round rookie who hasn't played an NFL game. This was Rochelle's preseason debut, right? I don't think he's played yet.
Yeah, I believe this was his debut because he was recovering from his injury in the first two preseason games.
Yeah, it did feel good to see a couple real players on defense. He was out there. Burgess played last week, but he was out there too. Terrell Lewis got some action this game. So, I mean, that was nice, I suppose. Better than week one, but yeah, there's not much to really take away from this game, and the positive takeaways we will have, we'll talk about going through these positions. So, 53 players make the team. Obviously, you can't keep everybody with that, and I think not a huge surprise, but a notable thing is that the Rams did, in fact, keep three quarterbacks, something we've been debating throughout the preseason, and I think this was Bryce Perkins earning the spot. At the start of August, I don't think they anticipated giving this guy a roster spot. Now they have Stafford, Wolford, and Perkins. I don't know if we needed to keep Perkins, but he certainly earned that spot, and I'm not gonna, lose any sleep about it. It's a nice insurance policy to have with two quarterbacks who did miss some times last year in Stafford and Wolford, even though I'm not concerned at all about the durability of either of those guys. It doesn't hurt. He played well. He knows the system. I think the most impressive thing to me about him was just his pocket awareness. Like, most of the time he was running, he didn't run just because he wanted to. Obviously, there's some designed runs for him, but he was playing behind an abysmal offensive line in these couple of preseason games, and he knew when to move. He made some decent throws on the runs. He made a lot of good plays on the run. And I was impressed. He definitely earned that spot. I don't know if we needed to keep him, but I'm okay with it. We're not letting him get away to another team by keeping him. And hey, hopefully we don't have to see him play this year. But if we do, we have the option.
As far as having Perkins on the roster, at first I was a little puzzled by it. Not that Perkins didn't play well in the preseason, because obviously he played his heart out there. But and clearly, if the Rams tried to put him on the practice squad, he was not going to make it whatsoever. So I was still a little puzzled, though, because I feel like that could have gone to a spot we really needed it. But then I thought about it, and thinking about it from the perspective of, let's say, a Les Snead, it made a lot more sense, because Les Snead obviously is a guy that is always kind of thinking ahead. I feel like that's one of his more redeeming qualities as a general manager. And while I don't know if Bryce Perkins will be in the Rams' future as anything other than a backup, even just a third stringer, I think that there may be teams that might be calling for him at some point, maybe not even this year, but somewhere down the line, that could be a phone call that Les Snead has to send them over there. Because, well, Bryce Perkins, let's be real, didn't have anything all that impressive in terms of passing. He is a very elusive quarterback. There's not many quarterbacks in the league that can actually extend drives quite like Bryce Perkins did. Like, that's really his redeeming quality. He obviously has a lot to work on his throwing mechanics, But other than that, that could be a reason to offer as trade bait. Now, if you ask me right now what you could get out of Bryce Perkins, probably not much. Maybe a sixth or seventh round pick if you're lucky.
Better than nothing, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere down the road, maybe he improves. Maybe next year he looks even better. Maybe his arm mechanics look better. And, you know, a team offers like a fourth or fifth round pick. You never know. So I think in that regard, it makes a lot more sense than just keeping this guy just to keep him because he has decent talent.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, that's basically my thought process on it.
And if, you know, you could make the same case for keeping him in case something comes up where someone gets injured and somebody wants to trade for Wolford. You know, I don't think that either of these guys are going to be the first call teams make if their quarterbacks get injured. There's some decent guys out there that aren't starting this year, and obviously, like, Cam Newton just got cut. So, you would imagine he'd be more desired than either of these guys. But, yeah, like, you never know. It's definitely nice to have, you know, three quarterbacks that you trust. So, I don't hate it. I mean, I think, like, the next position on the roster is running back, and they cut Xavier Jones, it seems like, partially due to him getting injured and needing surgery, and they weren't going to hold him on the roster when he was a bubble guy anyways. But we're going into the season with three running backs and three quarterbacks. And given the fact that our starting running back is already done for the year, that feels a little odd to me. I mean, I think it signals that they have a lot of faith in the three guys on the roster. And I think they should. You know, you trade for Sony Michel. You like Daryl Henderson. Jake Funk showed enough to be the third guy there. that does seem a little alarming to me. I'm not that upset about cutting Xavier Jones specifically, but if they do end up moving somebody like Ben Skoranek or A'shaun Robinson to the IR or to the PUP list, I wouldn't be shocked if they use that opened up roster spot to grab a running back. Maybe it is Xavier Jones if his recovery goes quicker than we expect, or maybe it's just another body that they could bring in to shore up that rotation.
I think partially why the Rams ended up going with three running backs before, and trust me, this could change on a dime. It happens all the time, especially with the Rams. They set their 53-man roster initially, and then there's some movement because somebody becomes available through waiver wire or free agency. So I believe that the three running back situation is partially because the Rams got Sony Michel. It wasn't necessary to hold four running backs because obviously the workload is going to be between Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel, considering, you know, they're both healthy. And obviously Jake Funk's there just in case anything happens to him. I'd be entirely shocked if Funks gets really any playing time other than for special teams. So, and then on technically speaking, they could still add a running back, which I wouldn't be opposed to as well. But the three running back situation, I think, is something that will probably fluctuate throughout the season. But I don't think it's a terrible thing at this moment.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, and I they're clearly not going to add any of the guys we talked about previously, you know, the Le'Veon Bells, the Todd Gurley's, that's passed. I wouldn't be shocked if they added, you know, like a guy like Wayne Gallman, who just got cut by the 49ers, just to have another body in case you need to rely on them. But I imagine I could see them adding a fourth guy when if they do move somebody to the IR, but I wouldn't be shocked if they just roll with this group too. And if someone gets hurt, you know, they definitely are going to be fine to get through that game. And then obviously, if you lose Michelle or Henderson for even a game, you're probably going to want to add somebody. And there are, because running back is such a nightmare for guys who want to make money at the position, there is a ton of, like, all right dudes out there, you know, that can run a little bit if you look at the names that are available, even beyond the guys we just mentioned. So I feel pretty good about the top of that group, though. We'll see what Sony Michel's got. We'll see how motivated he is. We'll see if he was just miscast in New England the last 2 years, and maybe he gets back to that rookie form. But obviously, I said in the pod, I like Darrell Henderson, so I'm not too worried about that group at all. Wide receivers, they kept the obvious five guys, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Sean Jackson, Van Jefferson, and Tutu Atwell. And Ben Skowronek, who we didn't see in the preseason, who has been injured, ends up keeping that sixth spot. Not a shock. And like we talked about J.J. Koski, who obviously played a lot this preseason, we didn't think he'd make the team because he didn't really add anything new compared to the guys who are already here. And Tristan Jackson, a bit of a surprise cut, but I'm not floored by it. I haven't been wowed by anything he did this preseason. I don't think you're going to lose sleep over any of these decisions. And I believe we'll talk about the practice squad at the end of the show, but Koski ended up on there and Jackson did not. So I don't know if he went somewhere else.
Truthfully, I was a little surprised. I mean, obviously the five receivers is not shocking whatsoever. We knew that pretty much since Atwell was drafted. But as far as adding Skowronek to the sixth spot, that was a tad shocker to me because I felt like, well, he hasn't proven anything. Maybe he did in camp, but in the preseason he didn't play because of injuries. So I thought it would have been better to keep him on the practice squad. Don't know if a team would snag him up. I guess that's entirely possible. But I thought if they were going to keep a sixth receiver, it should have been Jackson. But hey, it's the sixth spot. He wouldn't see any playing time anyway. I'm a little shocked that they didn't keep even Jackson on the practice squad, yeah. Which I guess could change at any moment. But I think that a team will give him a shot, or at least I hope so, because I think he's talented enough. He just needs the right opportunity, I feel.
They still haven't filled. I think they have two practice squad spots left that they haven't filled, two or three. But they already have Koski, and they kept Landon Akers, who's another receiver camp body. So I don't know if they will add him. But, yeah, I can't imagine he's not on a practice squad at minimum this year. That would be pretty surprising. He showed enough to earn that. With Skowronek, and for those who don't remember, seventh-round pick out of Notre Dame, big body receiver, hasn't been healthy. I wouldn't – and I'm a little surprised they haven't done this yet. I wouldn't be shocked if they just threw him on the IR, freed up a roster spot. They're not going to be in a rush to activate him. Like, I mean, you can – theoretically, teams don't really do it, but because of the COVID rules where they're not really limiting IR spots, you could probably – can you just throw him on there for the whole year?
I don't know, to be honest. I guess it depends on his status, to be honest. But because he's I'm not sure. I'm really not sure about that. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's definitely unlimited injured reserve. Only have to miss three games. So, I mean, you only have to miss three games to be on the IR. So I don't know why you wouldn't throw him recovering from an injury on the IR no matter what. But it's unlimited, so I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know why you wouldn't take advantage of that and get another player on the roster, unless he's going to be ready for week one, which maybe he is. They haven't really talked about it much, and like, why would they? Really, nothing important. So we'll see what happens. I do think they'll end up IRing him and using that roster spot on somebody else. Maybe one of these guys they got on their practice squad. Tight ends, we kept four. this was Tyler Higbee, Johnny Munn, obviously, Jacob Harris, fourth round pick out of UCF, who had some big moments in the first preseason game, and Bryson Hopkins, 2020's fourth round pick, who played in the preseason, didn't do a ton, but did enough to keep a job on the team. I'm not shocked by it. We talked about him potentially being a cut candidate, but I mean, looking at the guys that did get cut, maybe one or two guys I might advocate for over Hopkins, but I think it's probably the right call. I'm okay with keeping all these guys, especially since there's definitely something there with Jacob Harris so far as a receiver, but if something happens to one of the two guys at the top, you don't know, you don't know if there's anything there with Hopkins either, but you probably feel more confident in him as a blocker if, like, Johnny Munt were to go down and you needed to plug somebody in for him.
As far as tight end is concerned, there wasn't a ton of surprise there because, as Steve just mentioned, the three guys that were going to make the roster obviously made it, Higbee, Munt, Harris. As far as Hopkins goes, that was kind of something Steve and I have been harping on pretty much since he arrived in Los Angeles. So, he did make a few plays here or there in preseason, made more plays in the last game against the Broncos. So maybe it's just something they're going to try and develop him more. I would have tried to put him on the practice squad, to be honest. But, Kendall Blanton is on the practice squad, so maybe they just didn't want to carry two tight ends on the practice squad, but you have four tight ends on your active roster. So I'm not losing sleep over it either, but I think there could have been a better use for that spot. Just saying.
Yeah, and if a guy pops up on the waiver wire that they really like, maybe they cut him. He's one of the most expendable players on the roster for sure. So, but we'll see if he's got anything. If that whole room is healthy, he probably doesn't play a meaningful snap this season, in my opinion. We'll go to the offensive line here. Andrew Whitworth, Rob Havenstein, David Edwards, Austin Corbett, Brian Allen, the projected starter, Joseph Nopum, also a lock. A lot of guys competed for spots here in the preseason. The guys that ended up making the team were Bobby Evans, Tremaine Ankrum, and Alaric Jackson. Jackson, kind of definitely a surprise. Had to have been a guy who worked his way out of that roster spot. Chandler Brewer ends up on the practice squad, and Coleman Shelton, I think, ended up on the injury list. He ended up getting cut. And Jeremiah Colon also on the practice squad as a guard. It seemed like when Jordan Rodriguez, The Athletic, was doing some guerrilla reporting as to who was at practice after practice squads, she mentioned that Ankrum wasn't out there, so I honestly had thought he'd gotten cut until today. Nice to see him make the team. Sounded like the coaches spoke highly of him. Bobby Evans was played really bad this preseason, so it was a guy who was on the bubble, but he ended up sneaking in there, which I think is the right call. You could do worse, I guess, depth-wise. And Alaric Jackson earned himself a nice payday, so good for him. I don't really have much to add about this group. They took probably the best nine guys, and I'm not upset about them keeping nine guys because we have a pretty big unknown in at center. These guys could get injured at any moment. I don't mind keeping the depth.
Well, yeah, pretty much this was no big, huge, massive surprise because the Rams didn't add really much of anyone. With the exception of a few undrafted free agents. So there was really not a huge competition at all. Jackson making the roster is, I guess, the biggest surprise, but it's not that much of a surprise because, he actually performed really well in the preseason. Obviously not perfect, but he, you know, in terms of pass blocking especially, he was partially one of the reasons why Bryce Perkins had a lot of success. So, yeah, I'm not a big shock there. Chandler Brewer didn't end up making the roster, which was supposed to be our offensive lineman draft pick. Yeah.
Forgot about that comment.
Yeah. Yeah. beyond that, I mean, nothing really major here. As far as Coleman Shelton, I think eventually he'll probably come back once he's off the injured list. Beyond that, yeah, no big shock.
Yeah, maybe they'll add him to the practice squad once he comes back. I don't know. I don't really have anything to add with this group. So 27 offensive players, if my math on the fly just now was correct, versus 23 for the defense, and then three special teamers. Looking for a new and unique way to get in on the action this season? Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this year. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app specifically to for player prop bets. Tired of doing hours of research on the best fantasy sleepers to try and win your redraft league? Thrive lets you bet on the players that actually matter. You'll be able to choose prop bets for top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game, and each player's over-under will be assigned a fantasy value based on likelihood. Hit the most props, you'll rack up the most points, and you'll win a share of Thrive's prize pool, which is over $140,000 in guaranteed prizes for week one. It's already awarded more than $4 million to fantasy players. Best of all, use our promo TALKRAMS. You'll receive a 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. So you put in a dollar, you're going to get two. You put in 100, you're going to get 200. That's promo code TALKRAMS, TALKRAMS, all caps. That's a deal I'm cashing in on. Download the Thrive Fantasy app today on the App Store or Play Store and visit the website at thrivefantasy.com today to sign up. Sign up, prop up, and get ready to win big. Let's move on to the defense here. Defensive line, the boys up front. Interior defensive linemen, they kept a bunch of guys. Aaron Donald, Sebastian Joseph Day, A'shaun Robinson, Greg Gaines, third-round pick Bobby Brown, and then Michael Hocht and Jonah Williams, the guys who earned these spots because they were not a guarantee for either of those guys. Hocht had a really nice strip sack in the Denver game this week. Big surprise here, though, probably the biggest surprise out of the cuts, was Ernest Brown, who, you know, if you watch the preseason, it probably wasn't a huge surprise. It didn't do much, but a fifth-round pick. And they were able to get him on the practice squad, which is nice. But it's been a while since that's got to be the highest pick the Rams have cut in the preseason and since we've been doing this podcast, no?
Yeah, I don't recall them ever ever cutting a draft pick that high. That was bit strange, kind of, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, if they felt that hot, and am I pronouncing that right? Hocht? Hoyt?
Hocht, yeah.
Hocht?
All right, wait.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
We'll figure that out, guys. But if they felt like those guys were the better players, and I mean, Ernest Brown was a late fifth round pick, 174 overall, is not a big deal that they cut him. You could argue maybe they should have taken someone else. Sure, it's late. It's not a big deal. But yeah, like if you felt like those guys thoroughly outplayed him in the preseason, that's not high enough draft capital to guarantee you a spot. You know, if this guy was a third round pick, I would be singing a different tune. But it's late fifth. It's not a big deal. Kudos to those dudes for making the team, man. With A'shaun Robinson out, there's definitely going to be some snaps to go around next to Donald and Sebastian Joseph Day. I don't think Greg Gaines is a guarantee to get the majority of those, although did he play this preseason?
I don't believe he did.
So he'll probably get a decent chunk of snaps. But yeah, there's definitely snaps to be had there, even if Gaines is plugged in as the third starter and plays a lot, because those three dudes, even when it was the likes of Brockers, Donald, and Ndamukong Suh, they don't play 100% of the snaps. So there's going to be snaps to go around for these guys, and good on them for earning it. Brown definitely did not impress me enough to have any complaints about him getting cut.
And it is Hoyt, by the way.
Hoyt. I had a feeling it was Hoyt. I don't know. I should have committed to that first.
We're just awful with last name pronunciations, aren't we?
I'm just gonna start spelling it wrong. Whenever I put them on the sheet, I'm just gonna spell Hoyt. That'll affect me when I go back to writing eventually. But better for this. Let's talk about the guys. Go ahead.
There was really nothing to be surprised here. I guess the biggest surprise would be Eric Banks didn't make it, but really, was it a surprise? Because
no.
I mean, no disrespect to him or anything, because I do think he has a lot of talent, and I do think that, he's no longer a Ram. We'll get to that later. But, considering who really shined, which was Jonah Williams, I was actually really ecstatic that he made the team, because I honestly did not think he was going to, because I know the Rams really liked Eric Banks as well. I was really thrilled that Jonah Williams made it. Don't know how much snaps he's actually going to have, but I'm hoping that he rises, man. He showed a lot of promise this preseason, and I can only hope he gets better. Greg Gaines, like you said, I think he'll probably get the majority of the snaps beyond the starters. I'm not entirely sure, because they can go several routes here. But with A'shaun Robinson on the mend and for at least a week or two, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to be available for week one, it seems like.
Yeah, so... I imagine that Greg Gaines will probably, if not be the starter, get a lot more playing time as well. So it's gonna be interesting. Hopefully, A'shaun can come back and stay healthy, because that's an immediate concern with Michael Brockers being gone.
Yeah. Would love to have him. We'll see. I mean, Greg Gaines, I don't really have an opinion on him one way or the other. We'll see if he's in the. 2 years, I think 2 years he's been here has developed enough to step into that role in a big way, similar to how Sebastian Joseph Day did after Sue left. Outside linebacker, yes, that's next. Edge rushers. I guess one surprise, the guys that made it, Leonard Floyd, Justin Hollins, neither who we saw this preseason, Terrell Lewis, who we saw last week, Ogbonnia Okoronkwo, who I don't think we saw, but he's injury history. I don't blame them for holding him out. And then Chris Garrett, the seventh round pick out of a Concordia St. Paul D2 school. I wasn't going to remember the name, but it came to me. One of the bigger surprises here too is that Justin Lawler didn't make the team after a dominant week one performance, to where I thought they might just hold him out for the rest of the preseason. The Rams were able to keep him on the practice squad, so they got to be thrilled about that. Wouldn't be shocked if he's a guy that gets called up once or twice. I'm a bit surprised Lawler got cut, but I think that if you were only going to keep five of these guys, they kept the right five. So I think there's less snaps to go around than you would think of this position. I think Leonard Floyd is going to play almost all the snaps. Hollins will probably rotate out with Lewis and Oboe. Maybe Garrett gets a snap or two on a pass rush, but I think they're going to play Floyd a shitload. Out of the defensive linemen, including the other guys, he probably has the highest snap count.
Our boy, Chris Garrett.
I love
the
it.
Roster.
They had me a little nervous, but I'm glad he snuck in there.
Yeah, me too, man. I had my doubts of him making the roster, because let's face it, the guy's still incredibly raw. He showed tremendous potential, of course. He played very well in the preseason, at least in week two, and he showed a few plays in here in week three. But Yeah, I'm real ecstatic that he made the roster and hope that he continues to progress. You know, hopefully, you know, learning from Leonard Floyd, maybe from Aaron Donald a little bit as well. I would love for him to flourish and hopefully get some playing time, more than just special teams, but that might be a bit much to ask. But beyond that, Justin Lawler was a huge surprise that he didn't, well, maybe not a huge surprise, but a surprise that he didn't make the active roster. Happy that he was able to get signed to the practice squad, because he showed a lot of potential. But as far as Justin Lawler goes, there's just a lot of guys. And like you said, Steve, I do imagine that he'll probably be bouncing back and forth, especially when Oboe and Terrell Lewis are constantly on, you know, the injured list. Hopefully that doesn't happen anymore, but we'll see because,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, Justin Hollins, Leonard Floyd, obviously your starters, and yeah, no more surprises other than that.
No. And if like, you know, if anyone gets injured besides Leonard Floyd in this group, you feel they probably feel pretty good about the depth and just calling up Lawler and having him be the next guy up. So yeah, I think it was the right call. Inside linebacker, kept four guys, Troy Reader, Kenny Young, who we didn't see this preseason, which Johnny and I are sitting here taking massive L's, thinking that they were going to cut Kenny Young to save his $2 million salary after last season. You got to admit, when you're wrong, we're really fucking wrong. He didn't even play this preseason. Seems like those two guys are clearly going to be locked in as the starters unless Ernest Jones steps up and whenever he gets a chance and makes some big plays. But I would imagine we still see them for the foreseeable future. Ernest Jones, obviously, third guy on the group. And then Traven Howard ends up getting that final spot. They cut Micah Kizer. Not similar to Lawler. I'm not stunned by it, but if you told me like a month ago he was going to get cut, I probably would have been pretty surprised. And Christian Roseboom, who got a lot of playing time this preseason, also got cut. They kept Kizer on the practice squad, which honestly I was a little surprised that nobody picked him up, but I don't think he's good either, so it's not that surprising. Roseboom did get picked up by the Chiefs practice squad, so not on an active roster, but not in our building. He'll be joining our boys Creed Humphrey and Awesome Blythe in Kansas City. But it's a little interesting that they kept four guys here, but considering they don't play these guys like a ton, I get not keeping a fifth guy. You probably don't need it. And they were able to keep Kizer in the building, so if one of these guys gets hurt, they could call him up.
Yeah, it's kind of really unnecessary to keep more than just four inside linebackers for the Rams, because more often than not, they're running just one inside linebacker. So it's really not necessary to have more than just four. In fact, I think last year they only ran three for a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Kizer, Reader, and Young.
I don't know if I would admit that I'm wrong about Kenny Young and Troy Reader just yet, just because I don't know if that's just a testament to the depth that the Rams kept with the inside linebacker.
I mean, I'm not saying they're good, but we thought Kenny Young was going to get cut, and clearly okay. They had absolutely no intentions of cutting him.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'll definitely admit to that. I was wrong because I immediately thought that Kenny Young would be cut. I actually thought that Kenny Young would not even see the preseason to save money. But
yeah, I wouldn't, like, I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine this is not a top 30 linebacker duo in the NFL.
Oh yeah, no, not
I would
at all.
Imagine it's probably last or very close to last. We'll see how they do, though. I mean, they both of these guys, I think, did improve a little bit. Not enough for me to feel confident about this group. this is clearly the weak link in the defense, and we didn't see anything in the preseason to change our minds because they didn't play these guys. Well, I mean, hey, we'll see. I mean, I obviously hope that I'm wrong and that they come out guns blazing and play some great football. In reality, I think they'll be like, all right, good enough to not lose us games, but we'll see. I don't remember who our schedule is like every game, but I know we play David Montgomery week one, so it's not going to be too much of a fit for these guys. Colts week two?
Yeah.
Week two or three at least.
The Packers, who exposed them tremendously, so
oh, we're going to be fun. We're going to get some guys who are going to put us to the test, but at least in week one, it's not one of them. Even though I do like David Montgomery, he's not not one of those. Like when we get Jonathan Taylor, okay, that'll be fun. And I think that's pretty soon. Cornerbacks, they keep Jalen Ramsey, Darius Williams, David Long. We didn't see any of those guys in the preseason, so that's clearly going to be the starting trio. And then Robert Rochelle, rookie fourth-round pick, who we saw last week. He got cooked by Cortland Sutton in that game, but nobody should be losing sleep about that, as I mentioned earlier. Dante Dayon, a bit of a surprise cut for me, only because they held him out until the third preseason game, and then he played this week, and then for like what feels like the 15th straight season, he got cut in final cuts. But he's also back on the practice squad. So another name to keep an eye on that is probably going to bounce around when injuries happen. And if you're a little confused that they only kept four cornerbacks, I think we both anticipate Terrell Burgess to get a little bit of work as a slot corner. No cornerbacks really stood out to me. J.R. Reed, Juju Hughes are both more safeties, right?
Technically speaking, J.R. Reed and Juju Hughes would probably be more beneficial as safeties. But as far as Reed goes, he has experience at playing nickel corner. So I imagine that he will probably play a little bit along with, Terrell Burgess. So I don't know how often I think Reed would be more for depth purposes should anything happen to our corners. Because let's face it, only four corners, that's spreading yourself really thin at the cornerback position.
Yeah, well, and because we're talking about all these guys, the safeties that made the team, Jordan Fuller, Taylor Rapp, Terrell Burgess, Nick Scott, J.R. Reed, and Juju Hughes. So 10 DBs in total, which I think is fine. And like you mentioned, some of those guys are going to bounce around. Burgess in particular, I think will play quite a bit, not as a starting safety. If you're like me, J.R. Reed did make a fucking monster tackle when that guy tried to hurdle him last week. But I wasn't sitting here like super impressed by J.R. Reed and Juju Hughes. I think they both play pretty well, but nothing crazy to make the team. But you got to remember, guys need to play special teams. And Nick Scott, J.R. Reed, Juju Hughes, you're going to see those guys on a lot of special team snaps for sure. Robert Rochelle probably a bit too. You need to have players that you could throw out there. And wide receiver wise, besides Tutu as a kick returner, they're not chucking DeSean Jackson on special teams. I don't think you'll see much of Van Jefferson on special teams this year. So you need guys for the spots, and it's useful to have depth. It should be a strong secondary this year. I'm glad they have the room pretty full. And like we said, Dante Dayon probably going to be called up and down.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it shocked me a little bit that they didn't add him. Much like Steve mentioned, it's really weird the fact that they didn't play him for most of the preseason, and then he's suddenly not on the roster. That was a little weird to me. But you know, good thing he's back on the practice squad. I think that's great. Because, you know, like I said, spreading yourself thin at corner, even with guys on the safeties that could, you know, potentially play cornerback, you still want somebody that's kind of more dedicated to the position than someone that can technically play the spot. Even though I like Terrell Burgess a lot. But as far as your comment on J.R. Reed, I kind of disagree with you, man. I really think that J.R. Reed is a really fantastic player, and I kind of figured he would make the roster, but Juju Hughes a little bit surprised me because, well, first of all, I didn't expect the Rams to carry six safeties, but I don't recall the last time the Rams carried that many, or if they ever carried that many, but
yeah,
but yeah, Juju Hughes, he did okay. I don't know if I would have given him a roster spot, but I think there could have been a spot for him on the practice squad. I don't know if there would be teams interested in him, but I guess that's possible. But as you said, we definitely need, you know, some guys on special teams. So it's important to have those guys, and I think both Reed and Hughes would be excellent for special teams. So why not?
take Johnny's opinion about J.R. Reed. He's definitely the better analyst here when it comes to actual football players besides like skill positions. I will cede that for sure. Yeah, special teams, we have to talk about this because it's actually news. Matt Gay, obviously in at kicker. Matthew Orzech is taken over at long snapper after the departure of Jake McQuaid. And Johnny Hecker stays on as a punter. And Johnny, I think this week we finally got clarity on the whole purpose of the punter battle. And it was that the Rams did not want to pay Johnny Hecker his contract. They bring in Corey Borquez. He fucking crushes it in the preseason. But clearly they still want Hecker here. I just don't think they wanted to pay him as much as he's owed. And so they bring in this guy who's just lights it up, and they probably go to him and go, "Hey, buddy, we don't need you. We could keep this guy, restructure your contract, or get the fuck out." And he restructures his contract. He sticks around. We ship Corey Borquez to the Packers, and we ship him along with the 7th-round pick and get a 6th in return. So for a guy that we're going to cut, you move up a bit in a future draft. That's fine. It feels a little shady to me. This entire situation was just to get Johnny Hecker to take a pay cut. Because clearly, like, if you're going to say, "Oh, it was a competition," Borquez clearly won. Even though it wasn't Hecker's fault that he wasn't playing, but like, in the game they both played, he clearly lost. But I also think it was the right decision to keep him around because he's tied for the longest tenured player on the team, if not the longest. I think he is actually the longest. And he's a great presence on the team, in the locker room. He's a team captain. You should keep him around. Just, it's a fucking wild situation that happened here.
I feel like in past years, it was just such a known who was going to be your kicker, punter, and long snapper, that it's just so bizarre seeing that this not only these group of guys, but you weren't even sure who your punter was going to be until the last minute. like literally the last minute. That being said, yeah, it was a little bit shady, if I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, Les Snead played this probably about as good as you possibly could. You know, to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of people will kind of overlook what happened here because from a casual standpoint, not much did happen here in terms of what the Rams acquired and what the Rams cut. But all things considered, when you really look at the outcome here, the Rams not only restructured Johnny Hecker's contract, which, it's still not that significant because, let's be real, punters aren't making a ton of money. But at the same time, I mean, even Johnny Hecker, who was one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid punter.
The highest paid.
The highest. Well, there you go.
Yeah, decent chunk of change for a punter, but yeah, it was under $5 million. Yeah. And I doubt, they were like, we're cutting your, whatever he was owed. I think it, I don't remember exactly what it was though, but he probably didn't. It probably wasn't a huge pay cut, but I'm guessing they probably cleared up like $1 million, if that.
Well, hey, you know, for a team that's pinching their pennies right now, that's significant. You know, Yep. That it really is, and so that's one victory there. The other victory is, you know, cutting Corey, or trading Corey. I mean, he was essentially a backup punter who actually won, but he was essentially a backup punter that most teams would have probably just cut. But instead, the Rams got something out of him. It's not a whole lot, don't get me wrong, but they got something out of him.
It's like in Madden back in the day when you do a season mode and you'd you just pick up a player and trade him immediately for picks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then for a team that is struggling to count their draft picks, you know, we don't know how many or how little draft picks the Rams are going to have any given year. But, you know, this sixth round draft pick is something. You know, it's a potential Jordan Fuller. You know, that's significant.
That's true. Or it's a potential Ernest Brown. But
you had to go there.
No, it was definitely the right call. Snead played it absolutely perfectly. And it's a business, man. Everyone knows it's a business. If you're a player and you don't know it's a business at this point, you need to wake up. Everyone needs to get the bag when they can. To Hecker's defense, he got a contract extension like 5 years before his contract was expired or something crazy, so it happens. So that's a 53. We can talk about the practice squad. You mentioned, Johnny, Eric Banks is one of the guys who got cut. The only Ram that was claimed off of waivers after getting cut, I believe, was him. He got claimed by our buddies in L.A., the Chargers. So he'll be joining Brandon Staley over there.
Well, technically, also Christian Roseboom.
Yeah, they didn't keep him. He didn't get picked up though. He's on their practice squad, the Chiefs.
Oh, okay, I see what you. Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. I misunderstood what you said.
It's all good. So looking at the practice squad, here's a complete list of the 14 guys we have right now. They do have three more spots. Right now they have Landon Akers, wide receiver, Otis Anderson, running back, Kendall Blanton, tight end, Chandler Brewer, tackle, Ernest Brown, defensive end, the draft pick, Marquise Copeland, defensive tackle, Dante Dayon, defensive back, Jeremiah Colon, guard, J.J. Koski, wide receiver, Kareem Orr, defensive back, Tyler Hall, defensive back, Micah Kizer, linebacker, Justin Lawler, linebacker, and Max Pritchard, tackle from the international program, who I think you get 16 guys on your practice squad, and he makes it 17 because he doesn't count against it, the international guys. So, decent group. No quarterback this year because they chose to keep Bryce Perkins. I'm sure if, for whatever reason, they have to cut Perkins, they would definitely try and keep him on the practice squad. And like we said, it might be unlikely given how he played. But, I mean, seems like a solid group to me. I don't feel like there's a ton of, like, high upside guys on here. But the high upside guys, I feel like, made the team. Your Chris Garrett's of the world. Even Bryce Perkins, like, that kind of, even Ben Skronik, like, the guys who I could see having a lot of upside, they're on the roster. So, these guys, there's a lot of people who, if you actually need somebody to play, you got Micah Kizer, you got Dante Dayan, you got Justin Lawler, even Chandler Brewer to a lesser extent, Kendall Bland to a lesser extent. Those are guys that you've seen enough from that if you were in a drastic situation where they had to get called up and play, you wouldn't be too upset about it, and you keep them in the building so they could continue to learn the system.
Yeah, I was happy about some of the guys they were able to keep, guys like Justin Lawler. Micah Kizer, I was extremely surprised he wasn't picked up, especially when there was rumors going around earlier about him possibly being a trade target. That just shows nobody was interested because he ended up on the practice squad anyway. Now, I guess that could change at any point, but I'm happy because, you know, even though inside linebacker, you know, you have four guys there, but should they need a guy there, Micah Kizer's ready to go, because, you know, injuries happen. And, one thing I could say for sure about Kenny Young and Troy Reader is, you know, they've been a relatively healthy bunch, and that's valuable.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know,
it's a good for a contender. This is a group of guys keeping the practice squad, and like you said, like you mentioned, Kizer, even Dayan, even Lawler to a lesser extent. It wouldn't shock me if those guys get poached during the year either from teams that need to add somebody. But I'm glad we're at least, you know, keeping them in the building, so we pretty much have the first chance to sign them if needed.
Yeah, absolutely, and a few other notes here. Troy Warner, you know, he's a brother of Fred Warner, probably the only reason why he ended up getting picked up off waivers by the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yep. Practice squad.
Yep. I'm not losing over sleep over that one because he just did not play well at all.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with it. They also are expecting to put Oboe on the short-term IR, so they are going to be freeing up some roster spots, and I'll be curious if they use that on some of these guys on the practice squad or if they'll use it on some vets. I would kind of hope we go out and get a vet. So why not? They're there.
By the way, kind of a off-topic note here. Your boy Nasimba Webster, who was a 49er, he got waived.
I saw
it. Got picked up. Yeah, got picked up by the Bears, our week one opponent.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Well, Oh, no, Cordarrelle Patterson's on the Bears anymore, right? He's on Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe, maybe he will play Nasimba as a returner. But I honestly, when I saw that on the waiver wire, I was like, he wasn't on our roster in the preseason, was he? Like, I honestly had forgotten. I honestly couldn't remember.
He wasn't. He was cut before the preseason.
Yeah, I really had to think about it at the time. I was like, oh, San Francisco, okay. Yeah, I remember him getting signed. Ridiculous.
that was interesting.
Yeah, the Rams did, and we could save actual discussion for this for next week, but for the real heads that are here still, Rams did name their captains Stafford, Kupp, Woods, Whitworth, Donald, Ramsey, Fuller, and Hecker. We can talk about it deeper next week. I just do want to throw it out there in case people listen to this podcast for their news. You never know. But next week we could touch on that. We'll see if there's any news that comes up. Hopefully no injuries, and we will preview a football game, a real one. You got any final thoughts here, man?
No, just go Rams, man. Waiting for the season to begin already.
Go Rams and fuck the Bears. Follow us on Twitter, at C. Rivero, at Johnny596, at Talk Rams, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?